Let's go to Hebrews 5:7 once again. I'll just start here and go off in another direction, but I've been sharing from this verse as a text for a few weeks. Speaking of Jesus, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears to him, it was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. Jesus in his earth walk ministry prayed strong prayer. Prayer was a vital part of his life because in that you're connecting with God, you're having communion with God. And in his prayer to God, he was praying to the one who was able to save him out from death, which is all around us. Death, sin, it's all around us. And we need to pray lest we enter into temptation, Jesus said to his disciples. Well, the next part says, was heard in that he feared. In the Greek, the four words in that he feared, that phrase was one word, apo, which means to receive from one person to another. In other words, he heard from God. He heard a word from the Father. And the way he walked through this life was he walked from point of prayer and communion with God under the working out and obeying that to the time of prayer again. And from hearing a word from the Father to the walking it out unto hearing another word from the Father. And that's the pattern for us. And he says, even though he was a son, he acquired the habit of obedience. And the things that he suffered because he looked to the Father God as his source, when the pressure came, he always ran to the Father. You do the right things or develop habits because of one, authority imposes it. And that goes with the position of childhood. Some people never leave childhood because they never learn to submit to authority. But authority makes you do the right thing because that's needful. Then as you have vision or purpose, that will create a self-imposed discipline. Because if I don't discipline myself, I can't attain this goal. For example, if you were going to go to college and you're studying to be able to be certified in a certain profession, the objective is to be certified to do that work and gain the understanding. So therefore, out of the vision of that, you must discipline yourself to study. Or if you're going to play a musical instrument, you have to have enough desire to impose upon yourself the discipline to practice. Now, many times kids are learning an instrument and a parent makes them practice. Hey, Junior, did you practice your instrument yet? Do it. But ultimately, it has to become a purposeful thing, or when the authority's not imposing it, they won't do it. And the third aspect of disciplines being established is that of pressure or the things which he suffered. Pressure is something people can tend to want to get away from rather than run to God as a result of it. You need something from him, whether it's spiritual strength or favor or peace or whatever it might be, a decision to be known and understood. So the pressure that Jesus had upon him just drove him to the Father because he had the revelation God was a source. So in living this way, he went on to maturity and to complete the goals that were set before him. Now, when he came to the end of his earth walk ministry, he knew the work was finished, and it was then time to go on and do the redemptive work and to die for us. So he fulfilled that which was for him to do in the present, which enabled him to do what was coming next in the future. If you'll never discipline yourself, you'll never do much in your life. An undisciplined person who just allows their flesh to rule them will never really accomplish much or do much that's productive. Okay, so I want to hone in on this one thing right now, and that's hearing from God. I spoke a little from that in a previous week, but I'm going to hit it from another angle here. We need to hear from God because it's his word, as we do his word, according to James 1:25, that we're blessed. We're blessed. The doers of the word are blessed, James 1:22. And then he go on and reiterates it, verse 25. So we need to know what God would have us to do. Focus on that. Do that by faith. Draw upon all we need for him to do it. Grace, wisdom, strength, all that we need. And then we walk that out in obedience, and there's a fruitfulness will come, which will then lead us to go on to, further on in serving him. Jesus made a statement, John 5, verse 30. I want to turn there and just read it to you. John 5, 30. I can of my own self do nothing, or out of his own initiative. Why? Because he's submitted to the will of God, to the authority of God as his Father. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, or it's right, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. As I hear, I judge. Now, you have to judge things in life all the time. You know, someone say, oh, the Bible says don't judge. There's two different words in the Greek for judge. One means punish, and that's what we're not to do. But the other is to discern, to understand and recognize if something good or evil, and then to make the decision. That's right. And it says in 1 Corinthians 2:15, a spiritual man judges or discerns all things. We must be able to recognize, is this from God or the devil? Is this of the spirit or of the flesh? Is this good or is this evil? If we fail to come into discernment, you will be led astray. Not maybe, not there's a chance, you will. We must come to the place where we discern good and evil. And in growing and maturing, it's absolute necessity. For someone who's a young person who will not take heed to the truth of the Word of God and the wisdom their parents and others speaking into their life, they won't take heed to that wisdom. They're going to end up deceived. As sure as you're sitting in a chair right now, they'll end up deceived. And someone could say, oh, how'd that happen? They were a good kid. Good has nothing to do with it. Good is overrated. Good according to what? The scripture says there's no one good in their own ability or flesh. No, not one. But God is good. His word is good. Jesus is good. So if we try to discern apart from the one who is good, we create our own standards, our own criteria, and it will be a criteria many times that will serve the flesh, and thus we'll go off course. We'll go way off. So Jesus said, as I hear, I judge. The judgment I make as to what to do, what I'm encountering, what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, I judge based on the fact that I hear from my Father. I hear the Word of God. And he says so boldly, my judgment's right, or just. In this case, right. He judged right every time. Now, sometimes we would like to view ourselves that way. Well, I'm always right. Now, of course, you know humility. You wouldn't dare say that, right? Some people are so foolish to say things like that. If you say that, I suggest you repent of your pride. We're not always right. If you think you're that smart, you're the most deceived person in the room. Really. But God's always right. He is righteous, not just in the sense of we're accepted by him, but right in terms of the truth. And Jesus is always right, so it's wise for us to listen to him. Sometimes we're deceived, or sometimes we just don't understand things properly and then get deceived. And we make a mistake. We make an error. You could want to do the right thing and still do the wrong thing. It's because you're thinking wrong or you're deceived. So Jesus boldly says, as I hear, I judge. Now, his motive and intent is to do the will of the Father. So that has him always looking to the Father. Lord, what do you say is right? When you want to do your own will, you make your own criterias. If you have a young person, say, who's single, and they begin to embrace the desire, I want to be married. They'll create their own criteria to justify entering into it rather than seek the will of the Father. Wisdom will seek the will of God with every major decision, as well as minor ones too. But if we're seeking the Father's will, then we're going to look to Him. If you wanted to please your earthly father, and let's just say they give you a task, you're going to clean the house, and when I come back the next day, we'll see how you did, and I'll reward you accordingly. You have to have an idea of, well, what does clean mean to your father? Because it might mean something different to you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you have children and you say, clean up your room. And in their mind, they did it. But in your mind, they didn't really do it. And it's a different standard. But if they want to please you, they're going to say, mommy or daddy or mom, dad, how do you want me to do this? What is clean to you? So if we're wanting to please the Father, that causes us to go to Him to listen for His criteria of things or how He's seeing a thing. As I hear, I judge. Now, I want to pose a question to consider, and that's, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? We all have ears. We listen. We hear. You listen to someone, and wisdom would have us to listen to God because we're created for His purposes, for His pleasure. He is all wise. No one else is. If we have wisdom, it would have come from Him. So there's times you can hear from God through someone else, but ultimately we need to be looking to hear from Him, even when you're hearing from someone else. So who are you listening to? Now, sometimes when people get together and they talk and fellowship, they solve all the world's problems in an hour conversation. Do you ever have one of those? I mean, it's kind of fun in a sense. This is going on here. Is this going on there? And they ought to do this, and the world ought to do that. And people solve all the problems of the world in an hour or 5 minutes, depending on how many solutions they think they have. Well, we're going to solve the world's problems here in a moment. Real simple. If everyone would just listen to God and look to Him and then make their judgment of what's right and wrong, good and evil, there wouldn't be any problems. But the problem is that so many listen to demons. And some Christians who at times hear from God also at times listen to demons. And this is a reality. Now, I'm not a devil on every doorknob doctrine guy. There are some who take something like this and they devil here, devil there, devil, devil everywhere. Everything is a devil. I don't embrace that. That's glorifying the devil. That being said, we do have to realize there is Satan, and he took a third of the angels, and their mission is to steal the glory of God, which is mainly by bringing destruction of that which was created for the glory of God, which was the human race, and to pull you away from God through his lies and temptations, and thus getting you into a place of sin to destroy. Now, just in the last day, we've had some mass murder situations in our country where many were killed. Now, El Paso and in Dayton, Ohio, I just saw this morning. Late at night. And we have situations like this, and you'll have within the media all the talking heads say, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this? We got to figure out why it happened. Well, I can solve all those problems in one quick sentence here. They're listening to devils. But you know, the people of the world will not say that because they don't understand it. You know, they want to come up with all these psychological reasons, which could have some truth in them. But at the end of the day, people that do something that bizarre, they're listening to demons. Now, I'm not saying they're possessed. They might be. You don't have to be going around slobbering and drooling like a dog on a hot summer day. You could be possessed in that way. But just the mere fact you listen to devils, you might end up doing something that they're putting that suggestion into your mind. I like to stay aware of what's going on, current events. I usually have my limits how long I can listen to it because I don't want to get in sin. But some of these people running for president, I'll tell my wife at times, that person's got demons looking through their eyes. They are speaking the words of devil speaking right into their head. I don't mean to over-spiritualize it, but you can discern devils, okay? You can discern them. And sometimes these people on television, and you know, they think they're so smart, and they are probably smart in a certain way, but they got demons. And in their manner of speaking, you'll hear the hatred come out. Well, that's of the devil. You hear an accusing spirit come out. That's of the devil. You hear lies upon lies upon lies to where you think, how can someone stand themselves being in their own skin lying like that? Well, they listen to the liar, the father of all lies, and that becomes their way. Jesus even rebuked some of the Pharisees. He said, you're of your father, the devil. You do his works. You act just like him. If it walks like a duck and squawks like a duck, it's duck. If it talks and walks like a devil, it's a devil. So there are many who listen to devils, and eventually they'll act out what they're hearing because it becomes what they believe. It becomes what they embrace. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or out of the process of hearing, you begin to believe a thing. And people begin to develop belief systems that are rooted in the lies of the devil and in the hatred and the destructiveness. And it'll become like vomit out of their mouth. Oh, they might cover it up for a while, but eventually it's going to come out. I had read a certain person who wrote a book, I don't know, it might have been 20 years ago or something. And this person, it was a Christian book, and we probably even had it here at one point. And this person just this week renounced their faith in Jesus Christ. They were actually pastor of a church for a time, renounced their faith, and is divorcing his wife. Usually there's sexual sin involved with things like that, most of the time. And somewhere along the line, I mean, he renounced his book. It'll no longer be published, removed from all shelves. It was a book towards encouraging young people to purity. Somewhere along the line, and I don't have to know the man to know this, I know it in principle, he has started listening to devils. Don't think anyone's incapable of any kind of sin. You know, people will say, you'll hear these tragic things. Oh, they seem like a nice guy. Well, I remember when he was a boy. He was a good boy. He was in the Boy Scouts. You know, he would do this or that. And now there's a mass murderer. Somewhere along the line, someone begins listening to demons. Someone enters sexual sin. Somewhere along the line, someone's listening to demons. Someone begins flowing over into anger and hatred. Somewhere along the line, they're listening to demons. And there's a simple solution. If they'll hear the word of God, hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the power of God to save and deliver. There is a way out. But at any point along the way, you can change who you're listening to. And a person can be entertaining thoughts of pride. It might be real. In fact, Satan in Genesis 3:1, it says, was more subtle than any beast. Very subtle. Very sly. That's why we need discernment. We need the word in our heart. Because people don't enter into something saying, I want to be a drug addict and destroy my life. No one starts like that. People begin to live a lie that I can do certain things and I'm above consequence because I'm so smart, because I'm better than others that who did certain things. So it starts real subtle, real small. And people will entertain those things for a while. until it becomes what the Bible would call a stronghold. Strongholds can be broken, praise God. With whatever the enemy would want to do, there is a place for victory. And that's where your hope lies. Jesus, in his resurrection, defeated the devil and made a provision for victory for us. But we begin with the hearing of the word. Now, I want to go to Genesis chapter 3 for a moment. And just taking this and building a little bit on this thought. Genesis 3:17, God's speaking to Adam after Adam and Eve sinned. And he says, because you hearkened or listened to the voice of your wife and ate of the tree that I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, and sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. A curse came on the earth as a result of Adam's sin. There is a price to pay for sin. It always is going to undermine the blessing of God and bring something destructive, always. But he says, because you listened to the voice of your wife. Now, God spoke to Adam before he even created Eve. Said, you have access to everything in a garden, but that one tree you can't, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what that is the authority to decide what's good or evil, righteous sin, good or bad. That is never to be ours. That's why you look to the word of God and to God to say, this is what I want you to do. This is good. This is evil. And once people excuse themselves from God being the absolute authority of their life, then you're in a place you make your own criteria for things. Well, I think it's okay to do this. I think it's okay to talk like that. I think it's okay this sin or the other. And people begin to build a justification system where no one can challenge it. The very root of all sin is right there. I'll decide. Now, when you know God's all wise and he loves you and he wants what's best for you more than you do, why wouldn't we want to submit to him? But when lust and pride come into our heart, then we're going to push for that. So what we see here, going back to the beginning of chapter 3, Satan comes to Eve and begins to tempt her, talk to her, and she's listening. Adam was present, if not in the beginning, at the end of this. Adam should have took authority over the devil right then and there. God told him, you work the garden and you protect it. And he didn't drive out Satan. And what Satan was saying to Eve went right against what God said to Adam. I give you a command. You do not eat of this fruit. It's not for you to decide good and evil. It's for you to obey. That same principle is through the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. So if you look there in chapter 3 in the beginning, Satan's coming to Eve and he says, hath God said? When you're under authority, which they were at that point, Satan's first order of business or line of attack is to cause you to doubt God and to doubt his word. When Satan came at Jesus to tempt him, to pull him to sin, he said, hath God said? He tried to cause him to doubt the authority of God and doubt the word of God. So once that comes in, now you're open to entertaining other thoughts or to listen to something else. As long as you are sure about the voice of authority and what it's speaking to you, you're not going to entertain other things. With all children, I say this in an absolute sense, the devil's going to come at them to get them to doubt you, parents. To doubt your character, doubt your word, doubt your promises, whatever else. When you realize you didn't fulfill something you said, it's incumbent on you to humble yourself and say, son or daughter. No one calls a girl daughter, right? Son, daddy was wrong. Please forgive me. And by example, you're teaching humility. But to never do that, by example, you're teaching pride. You will fail at times as a parent. because you're not perfect. Sometimes we lack wisdom with things. Sometimes we're distracted, for whatever the reasoning. So as we humble ourselves, we teach humility. And they can still trust you. See, to trust someone doesn't require them to be perfect. It requires for them to be humble. That even when they are wrong, they'll make it right. If you think someone has to be perfect to trust them, you're not going to trust anybody. You probably don't even trust God. But if someone is humble, that they'll seek to find out, you know, what's wrong and endeavor by the grace of God to make it right, well, you can trust. You don't have to be afraid of them messing up. Okay, well, Satan's initial thing here is doubt. Hath God said? Then he follows it with a lie. And she doesn't quote what God said right. She says, yeah, God said if I touch it or eat of it, I'll die. God didn't say if you touch it. He said, don't eat of it. Don't partake of it. So she adds something to the word. Obviously, Adam told her what God said. But she wasn't paying close enough attention. She added something to it. Don't you hate when someone does that? You say something and they add something to what you said. And you say, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Here's what I said. And sometimes people get into arguments over that. Because someone added something. But maybe it was your raised eyebrow that added that extra word for that person. Or a facial expression. So Satan, what he did then is brought the lie. There'll be no consequence. He says, you can eat it, you'll not die. Lie, no consequence. And whenever you don't have authority doing what it should do, and there's no consequence for actions, you'll have chaos, which is where a lot of people in places of authority in our nation are trying to lead us right now. The chaos. You have judges and people that oversee law enforcement, so forth, wanting to say, stand down, don't arrest that person who's going to commit a crime. If you don't have consequence, there'll be chaos. If you don't have consequence with children, they're going to be undisciplined rebels, and you'll regret the day that you didn't discipline them later, but it's too late. I mean, they can humble themselves and be changed, but when they grow and are on their own, that's what I'm speaking to. You can't go back and parent someone again. So Satan is going to try to lie to us, say, you can do whatever you want. There won't be consequence. You're above the law. You're above consequence. So that's his next line of approach. Then step three is lust and pride. And it says that he was saying, oh, this is good for food. And the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, which is what's in the world. So once we begin to doubt the goodness of God, we doubt the authority of God, and we think we're free to do whatever we want to do, and there won't be consequence, that's when someone will listen to a devil pummeling them with lust. Whatever the lust would be. I mean, you name it, things of this world. The devil will begin pummeling you. If you only had this, and then maybe then lead someone to steal. If you only had that, or this person's your problem, you should want to hurt them, be angry, hateful, murder, and so on and so forth. And there's no end. Once we start listening to this stuff, there's no end to it. And there's a lot of people, hopefully you're not one of them, that are miserable. I mean, they're just flat out miserable. Because this is all that's going on in their head. People are the problem. Hate people. Anger. Fearful thoughts. Pummeling them. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. This is going to happen. And torment comes. Guilt thoughts being pummeled with them. And there's a time comes where we have to shut the devil's mouth. And it's by speaking the word. When Satan came to try to tempt Jesus, out of the mouth of Jesus came, it is written, it is written, it is written. He He spent a lot of time hearing the scriptures. In fact, you can see in many places in the Gospels, every Sabbath, you know, Jesus was a Sabbath keeper. Every Sabbath, he went to the synagogue to hear the scriptures read, and he even participated in it and would stand up and read the scriptures. They didn't have a Bible at home. You had to go where it was in the synagogue, where they were handwritten out. So it was very important to hear the word, and he heard, and he heard, and he heard. So then when the temptation came, out of his spirit came the word. But if you never put the word in, when the temptation comes, there's nothing to draw out from. So who do you listen to? Adam listened to the devil indirectly through listening to his wife. And many times Satan will use other people to speak to you. You may not be thinking it on your own, but he'll try to come at you through other people. And it's amazing, you know, throughout human history, where you have dictators rise up and they'll be propagating hatred or fearful things and control whole nations. I mean, I just marvel at that. If you ever watch any videos of Adolf Hitler preaching, he was a preacher. He had demons out the wazoo. He had strong demons. But the guy was able to persuade a nation to go to war and conquer and kill and destroy and rape and pillage and to have the Holocaust, the murder of every Jew they could kill. I mean, what influence is that? That's a lot of influence. But you see, they used the tools of media, as primitive as they were at that time, and got control of that and were indoctrinating the people in these thought processes. And the same goes on and on and on today. What people are listening to is either going to bring faith or something demonic. It's going to form a belief system. And the devil is going after our institutions of learning to try to steal a whole generation of young people. And out of, I don't know if it was Lenin or Stalin, one of them said, if we can get the young people, we can take a nation in one generation. Which was a demonically inspired piece of knowledge. But it's true. And satanic influences have infiltrated colleges and high schools in our nation and are indoctrinating kids, which is all the more, if you have them at home, you better be pumping the word of God and living upright so that Satan doesn't bring doubt against you, but the doubt would be against them. So we have media, music, and all this kind of stuff just bombarding us with images and words. And people begin to just blindly follow this stuff. So I submit to you, who are you listening to? What are you listening to? Peter is walking with Jesus. And there in Matthew 16, Jesus begins to speak of his death. And Peter starts to rebuke Jesus. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." A devil was talking through Peter. Now, he wasn't possessed. He was listening to a devil. Because what Jesus talked about didn't fit his thinking. And if you exalt your thinking, then you're going to be open to listen to devils. Now, history is filled with people who've made these errors. We need to learn from it and be very purposed. I'm not going to listen to any devil. There were times Peter was listening to the Spirit of God. There's times he was listening to the devil. And that's not to pick at Peter. It's the same with all of them. It says of Judas, Satan entered his heart before he went to betray him. So he was listening. You know, he dealt with covetousness and the love of money previous to all this. But there was a point along the way that devil was working him, talking to him. To where Satan entered in to be able to move him to betray the Son of God. And all the miracles he saw and everything else. So don't underestimate the fact that anyone can fall, but rather be purposed to hear him. We were looking last week at Jesus on Mount Transfiguration, And when the glory of God shined forth and Moses and Elijah are talking, and a voice comes out of the cloud, says, "This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear him, hear him, hear him," is what he's saying to them. Don't exalt the experience. Don't exalt the manifestation. Hear him, hear him, hear him. There have been many, many, many who've been used in miracles, end up in drunkenness and adultery and all such things. Many over the years. So this bears much repetition. So what are we listening to? Are we listening to the Holy Ghost? Are we listening to devils? King Saul is a really example. I don't have time to go into all of it, to read it all, but in 1 Samuel 15, it gives that whole account where Saul was given a word from the Lord and he didn't obey, and they were to destroy the Amalekites, everything. And they kept some of the lambs for an offering. Now, they gave a spiritual justification. Oh, we'll keep some of these to offer to the Lord. You know what the truth of it was? Money. Because if I use this lambs I get as a spoil of the war, then I don't have to use my own. There's a love of money behind it. But Saul had himself convinced, yeah, I obeyed the Lord. They just kept some of them. And God showed Samuel. Samuel said, you did not obey the word of the Lord. That's where he goes on to say to obey is better than sacrifice. They justified their sin of disobedience, which was covering for their covetousness. Well, we can't sacrifice these. We can't just kill these lambs. We'll keep them. So to justify it, they tag something of God on it. I find this what Christians do. If they want to justify not obeying the Lord, they'll tag something onto it and say, oh, this is God. There's something of God here. But the reality is they're not obeying the Lord. So they kept those animals for themselves. And Saul, he finally confesses and says, I did it because I feared the people. I obeyed their voice. He thought he had justified himself. Well, I didn't do it. They did it. And it's for a good reason. But see, he didn't obey the Lord. And you can try and justify all you want. Ultimately, that comes back on us. We need to be honest with ourselves before the Lord. So that's just another example. The Bible's full of examples where people listen to devils, or they are listening to a devil by listening to people. At the end of the day, you have to own your decisions. There is no blaming anybody else. Adam, when confronted by God, said, God, the woman you gave me, she made me eat. He blamed everyone he knew. He only knew two people, God and Eve. And even though she was the instrument to lead him into it, that had nothing to do with it. He had a word from God, and he didn't obey the word of the Lord to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So as long as we want to excuse ourselves, whether it's by blaming someone else or circumstance or by just making an excuse, as long as we do that, nothing will change for the good. The Holy Spirit's wanting to cut through some things to help us here in the fear of the Lord for wisdom here. People will excuse themselves. That consequence doesn't apply to me. I have an excuse, or blame somebody else and thus excuse themselves. And in turn, they're situated then to listen to the devil. And he won't stop at taking an inch. He'll take the proverbial mile. Little compromises turn into big ones. Now, here's the good news. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus declared that faith will come by the hearing of the word. If we'll submit ourselves to the hearing of the word and make that part of the habit of our life, the habit of obedience, to be a hearer of the word of God, and then following it with being a doer of the word of God, hearing unto completion. Again, I'll just reference Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Two different Greek words, by. The first one means out of. It comes out of the process of hearing. What you believe comes out of what you're continuing to hear. And hearing unto, by the word of God, the completion of that word. We need to continue to hear unto the completion. So, if you need healing, hear, 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 until you're healed. The promises with prosperity, hear, 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 act upon it until it's done. Whatever it would be. You might not feel like you can forgive someone. Well, God doesn't command us to do anything. He won't give us the grace to do. So as we hear the word of the forgiveness of God, that begins to transform us. And the power of that word goes in us that by faith, we can forgive like Jesus did. Even though we don't feel like it, our emotions feels like killing somebody or hurting them somehow. But we're able to forgive because of the power of that word. So things can be changed. We're not locked into anything of the past. We're not limited by it. We do need to realize things that have happened and things we have heard influence us. And we have to deal with it and overcome it. But there is a way to victory. There is a place to be set free. And it's by the power of the word of God. The gospel of Christ is the power to salvation. We are being transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord as we're hearing the word of who God made us to be in Christ. That's who I am. I'm not a dirty old sinner. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a new man. I'm born of a spirit. I'm born of love. Maybe you have feelings that you want to hurt somebody, but we need to speak the word to ourselves. I'm born of the spirit. I'm born of love. Love what's inside of me, and I'm believing for it to grow and increase and be released out of my heart and out of my mouth. Yeah. See, that's what you do. That's how you do it. And we begin to get stronger and develop habits that would lend itself to a habit of a life obeying God. But part of it, it begins way on back, the right habits in the mind. Who do you listen to? What do you listen to? What do you hear? That's why it's so important with things like music and video image things, that it's things that are building and not tearing down. Might say, well, is it a sin to watch something? Well, it might be, but it might not be. But that's not really the question. Is this building you up and making you stronger, or is it tearing you down? You know, we've been so blessed with the development of technology in the last 50 years. You all know, I remember using a reel-to-reel. Some of you only know what that is. What's a reel-to-reel? That's real old school. I used to do radio. We would record on a reel-to-reel. When we started the church, we recorded messages on a reel-to-reel. And then, you know, you had the cassette. The cassette tape was like earth-shattering, cutting edge. I mean, now you probably can't even buy one anymore. I mean, almost the CD, DVD's about ready to be extinct. They don't even put them in cars anymore to play them. But we have at our fingertips the access where now you could say, what's the name of the thing you can talk to and tell it? Siri or the things in the house. You don't even have to get up and walk over to the tape player. You can just say, hey, put Kenneth Copeland on. I want to hear a message on faith. Bingo, there it is. I find with the easier things become, the less people actually do the right thing. Unless you've already developed certain disciplines. One of the grave mistakes people make with their kids is making life too easy for them. And I'll tell you where you see it now. We're eating fruit of it now. Employers finding it hard to find people that want to work. Work? Work? I just want a paycheck. Work? Everything was given to them. I guarantee you, I don't even have to walk in the house. You can just see it in how someone handles himself as a young person going into their adulthood. But when we have an understanding of developing disciplines, that just carry over into everything. And the discipline of hearing the word is vital. If Jesus needed to operate under that, how would I be an exception? The discipline of a prayer life for a Christian is vital. And again, I'll quote Jesus saying, pray lest you enter into temptation. Or having a prayer life, you're going to be releasing faith and drawing on the presence of God to where when temptation comes, you're not going to succumb to it. When a stinking lying devil tries to talk in your ear, you'll discern it and say, shut your mouth, devil, get out of here. For the word of God says, blah, 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 in the name of Jesus. And as we develop a stronger and stronger discipline, you frustrate the devil like no end. I mean, he tries to come at you, you discern him immediately and just kick him right out. But what happens, too often people like entertain stuff. They entertain evil thoughts. And it will always start subtle. Real subtle. He doesn't just one day come along and say, buy an AK-47 and walk into the mall and kill 50 people. That's an end point. But it's something like that starts way on back. And it could even be someone playing too many video games, acting out murders every day. And there's a desensitizing of the spirit that happens with things like that. So things like that, we have to have wisdom. Okay, I realize sometimes something is just a game. But we have to have a discerning of spirits. You know, what's entering into someone? I remember learning about things with music. And you would have different genres where someone might take that's the genre of music that they grew up with, and then they add Christian words and we'll call it Christian music. But some carry certain things in spirit. For lack of another terminology, the headbanger music, I've never really figured out how that's used for God. Because there's a spirit of anger in it. There's a spirit of anger. My wife and I were talking the other day, there was a kid down on our street. We watched them since they were little, kind of tender heart, had some other siblings. Now they're out there shooting basketballs, playing this music. It's this foul, sexual, and hatred. You think, are they, the parents don't have any wisdom, they're not saved. Do you realize what that's putting into the spirit of your kid? Feeding on that. So then you have somebody down the road. They begin to act out that hatred and violence that they heard over and over and over. And say, why did this happen? He was a good kid. Yeah, a few years ago he was a good kid. But all that filth and evil saturated the mind. And it defiles people. Where they can end up. So, you know, the things going on, it's not a surprise to me. It's always a grief. Again, last 24 hours, two major murder situations. They're just listening to devils. Except for the grace of God, you could be that guy. When I say the grace of God, godly influence. That there's been some godly influence. For some people, even just hearing the Ten Commandments when they were 5 years old at a church creates enough of a restraining force for them to say, no, thou shalt not kill. But you have people getting pumped with all this other stuff. Anything's possible. Okay, well, in hearing the word, we always want to look and consider, Lord, how do I apply this to me? not somebody else needs to hear this. To apply to ourself, am I listening to God? Am I listening to devils? Am I setting myself to be a hearer of the word and allowing that word to just give life to me and order my course to lead and guide me? The Holy Spirit guides in truth. So if we're listening to him, it should always be taking us to truth. The devil always leads you to a lie and destruction. Well, praise the Lord. The hearer and the doer shall be blessed.